You know, sometimes when you preach, you don't have to preach. You can just tell a story and let the story do the work. I learned that from Jesus. That's what I'm going to do today. Once upon a time, there was a king. He was a very wise king. At least he thought he was very wise. And just to prove how wise he was, he would travel through the countryside around his realm, and every now and again he would stop and he would ask one of his subjects a riddle. No one could ever answer one of the king's riddles, which just went to prove he was the wisest one in the entire kingdom. Then one day he was riding along and happened to pass by a mill house. The mill wheel was turning, being turned by the stream that went past the mill house, and the miller was standing in front of the mill house, and the king called for his driver to stop. The driver stopped in front of the mill house, and the king called the miller over, said, "Miller, I have a question for you. Tell me, if you can, what is the fastest thing in the world?" Well, the miller didn't know much about fast. Most of his life was pretty slow. He thought for a minute, and finally he said, Wait right here. I'll be right back with the answer. He went inside the mill house. He stayed just a few moments, and when he came back out, he said, "Your Majesty, the fastest thing in the world is a thought. Because a thought can travel from here to the other end of the universe just like that." The king was amazed. No one had ever been able to answer one of his riddles, much less a common miller. It must have been dumb luck. So he said, "Miller, let me ask you a second riddle. Tell me, if you can, what is the sweetest thing in the world?" Well, the miller thought for a while. He thought, "I probably should say the honey in the king's honeycombs, but surely there are sweeter things." Finally, after puzzling just a moment, he said, "Here, wait right here. I'll be right back." He went inside the mill house, and when he came back out, he said, "Your Majesty, the sweetest thing in the world is sleep, because when you are tired or sad, there is nothing quite so sweet as sleep." The king was astonished. Two in a row by a common miller. He couldn't believe it. What was going on here? "Fine," he said, "fine. Tell me, if you can, Miller, what is the richest thing in the world?" Well, the miller didn't know anything about riches. He thought, "I should probably say the king, but surely there were richer kings around elsewhere." He didn't even hesitate this time. He said, "Wait right here." He went inside the mill house. Shortly after that, he returned and he said, "Your Majesty, the richest thing in the world is the earth itself, because it's out of the earth that all riches come." The king was absolutely flabbergasted. Three in a row by a common miller. He could not believe it. And then the answer came to him. He said, "You are a wizard, aren't you? You have a book of spells back in that mill house, and you go in there and you cast some kind of spell and come up with the answer. Now tell me the truth, Miller." The miller said, "Oh no, Your Majesty, you have me wrong. I don't have a book of spells. I couldn't read it if I did. But I do have a daughter. And whenever I have a really, really difficult question or situation, I always go and ask her. She always gives me a very, very wise answer. And so when you asked me those questions and I didn't know what to make of them, I just went inside and asked my daughter. Those were her answers. I was just the messenger. I brought the answers to you that she had given to me." Well, now the king was interested. Being of the single persuasion himself, knowing that one day he would want a very wise woman to rule at his side, he thought it might be interesting to meet this miller's daughter. So he said, "Miller, I would love to meet your daughter. Tell her to come to the castle, and I will give her an audience, but she has to come in this particular fashion. She has to come to the castle neither by day nor by night, neither walking nor riding, and neither clothed nor unclothed. Tell your daughter when she arrives at the castle, under those conditions, I will give her an audience." He called for the driver to pull away, and they were gone. The miller couldn't make heads or tails out of what the king had said, but he went inside and he told his daughter, and she just nodded and smiled. And the next morning, the guards who stood on the battlements of the castle saw the strangest sight they had ever seen. It was just at dawn, when it was not still night and not yet day, neither by day nor by night. A woman came toward the castle with one leg over a goat and the other one on the ground, neither walking nor riding. She wasn't wearing a dress or a gown, but had taken leaves and pasted them all over her body, so she was neither clothed nor unclothed. And in that fashion, the miller's daughter arrived at the gate of the castle. When the king heard this, he was delighted. He invited her in. He was as stricken by her beauty as he was by her wisdom. He thought, "This is exactly the person I need to serve with me and help rule this kingdom." He said, "I would love it if you would agree to marry me, but if we are to be married, there are certain conditions you have to meet. You see, I am the chief judge of the land. All of the most difficult cases come to my court. And once I make a decision, it is final. So, you must promise me you will never go behind my back to go against one of my decisions, and you must never make me look foolish." "Very well," said the miller's daughter. "If we are to be married, there is a condition you have to meet." Well, the king wasn't used to meeting anyone's conditions, but he was interested enough to ask what that was. She said, "If I am ever sent away from this castle for any reason, I get to take whatever I treasure most with me." "Fine," said the king. He was very wealthy. He could replace literally anything in his entire realm. And so the contracts were written, the date was set, and the king and the now queen were married. They lived happily and well for a number of years. The king was the chief judge of the land. Difficult cases came to his court. The queen, though, in her own quiet way, shared her wisdom among the subjects. One day, a particularly difficult case came before the king. It seems there was a farmer who owned a cow, and that cow had given birth to a calf. Now, the calf had wandered off and had found its way under a peddler's cart. The peddler, finding the calf under his cart, simply took a rope, tied it to his cart, and took it as if it were his own. Now, the farmer claimed the calf was his because his cow had given birth to it. The peddler claimed the calf was his because he had found it and claimed it. Well, this baffled the local magistrates. The court case came to the king. The king listened to both sides and remember hearing somewhere that possession was 9/10 of the law, gave the calf to the peddler under whose cart it had been found. Well, the peddler went away happy, but the farmer went away crestfallen. On his way out of the castle, the farmer happened upon the queen, and she noticed that he was very distressed. She was very concerned about the welfare of her subjects, and so she asked the man what was wrong. He told her his story, how his cow had given birth to a calf, his calf had wandered off, a peddler had found it under his cart, and the king had actually given possession of the calf to the peddler. Well, the queen realized immediately that her husband had done the man a grave injustice. So she said, "I tell you what you do. Early in the morning, every day, the king goes riding along a certain road. I want you to be on that road before dawn tomorrow, and I want you to take a fishing net. Tack one side of the net to a tree on one side of the road. Stretch the net across the road so nothing can pass. attach the other side of the net to a tree on the other side of the road so that when the king comes along, he'll have to stop. He won't be able to get by. When he stops, he'll probably ask you what you're doing. When he does, you tell him you're fishing. He'll say something like, "That's madness. You don't fish in the middle of a road. You fish in a river, a stream, a lake." When he says that, you tell him it's as easy to catch fish in the middle of a road as it is for a cart to give birth to a calf. And so the next morning, the farmer was there. He had his net stretched across the road. Sure enough, here came the king. The king stopped. "What are you doing?" "I'm fishing, Your Majesty." "Fishing? That's madness. You don't fish in the middle of a road. You fish in a river, a stream, a lake." "Ah, but Your Majesty, it's as easy to catch fish in the middle of a road as it is for a cart to give birth to a calf." And the king realized that he had done the man a grave injustice. Offered him 10 calves from the royal herd to make up for the one he had taken unjustly. But the king said, "You didn't come up with this on your own, did you? You had help." "That's right, Your Majesty." "Who helped you?" "Her Majesty." "Just as I thought," he said. So he called for the driver to return to the castle. As soon as he arrived, he called for the queen to come in. And when she entered the courtroom, he said, "You, years ago when we married, you promised me that you would never go behind my back to go against one of my decisions. You would never make me look foolish. And now you've done both. I want you gone. Tomorrow morning, I want you to take whatever belongs to you and be out of here." The queen said, "Very well, but you also promised me something. You promised that if ever I were sent away for any reason, I could take whatever I treasure most with me." "Fine," said the king, "load it on the cart and take it to your father's house. Just be gone." Well, that evening, the queen ordered that the king's favorite meal be served. Along with it, she ordered that his favorite wine be served and that his cup never be empty. Well, they sat at that dinner in a stony silence. The king eating several helpings of his favorite foods, drinking numerous cups of his favorite wine, and in the quiet, he simply nodded off to sleep. As soon as he was in a good, deep sleep, the queen got up and motioned for the guards to come in to pick up his chair and king and all and put him on the cart of things she was taking to her father's mill house. They took them all to the mill house. When they arrived, they took the king off, chair and all, put him next to the fire, unloaded all her other worldly belongings, and they left. The next morning, when the king awoke with a slight headache, he looked around and noticed he wasn't in the royal bedroom. He said, "Help, help, I've been kidnapped, help." His wife came in and said, "Shh, people are trying to sleep." He said, you've kidnapped me. You're holding me hostage to try to force me to take you back." She said, "Shh, if you'll be quiet for just a moment, I'll tell you what we're doing. Remember, you promised me that if ever I were sent away from the castle for any reason, I could take whatever I treasure most with me. And what I treasure most in all the world is you. So here we are in my father's mill house where we will live out the rest of our days." Well, the king quickly realized that he had done his wife and himself a grave injustice. So that day, the king and the queen and the now royal miller all returned to the castle where they lived happily and well. The king was still the chief judge of the land, and only the most difficult cases came to his court. But in future days, when an especially difficult case came to his court, he was often heard to say, "You know, we had best consult with my wife on this one. She is a very, very wise woman." Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where is your treasure today? Where is your heart today?